Our fierce pride in ourselves and our country was attacked and confronted, and a leveling off began to occur. Diversity, ethnicities, culturalities, they all prevailed, and the radical changes in America continued one after another, and in all areas of this great country, everywhere. Small wonder that millions began to ask in earnest, what is America? What is America? Who are we as a people? And what do we believe? Can we go forward? And can we survive? We the people wrestle with a whole new construct for our great country. And we are forced to wrestle with issues and redefine them, and ourselves as never before. So, my fellow Americans, I ask again, where are we? Where are we as a nation? As a people? Where are we? Well, for one thing, we live in an age which some call post-truth. Post-truth. Can you believe that? We the people live in a day and age which some have called the post-truth era. That means that the old absolute standards of right and wrong are gone, or at least compromised and eroded. The definitions of good and evil have changed. The expedient has replaced the fundamental. There really is no truth, for what may have been perceived as such one day is different the next. We the people saw that clearly in Obama, changing stories, fabricating, words used merely as a means to an end. Whatever seemed right at the time produced the words, fact or fiction, but whatever was necessary at the time, that's what was said. In fact, the words of Pilate of old became a moral-less mantra of the times. What is truth? What is truth? There really was none to so many, at least none absolutely so. And we as a people seem to become accustomed to a moral relativism, a situation ethics. We began to expect the lie. We didn't believe anybody in public life. We expected the lie and not the truth. There was no such thing as hard fact, but rather spin, individual interpretation, and the truth was eroded, for it never seemed to be the whole truth, all of it, or nothing but the truth. So many things added in or taken out. We witnessed a media, once objective, now so biased and subjective, with political, social, and cultural objectives, which colored the information we received and they produced. Objectivity had given way to slant and bias. We now know as Americans that we are subject to fake news. Can you believe that? Fake news. That is, information without fact or not necessarily true and made up. Made up by those with personal objectives to be gained. We live in the day and age of Saul Alinsky. Look him up if you don't know who he is. The radical nihilist, bent on destruction of all things, who told his disciples to do and say what had to be done, and then deny, and then delay, and then obfuscate, that is, confuse, and do so as much as possible, and then when all else fails, litigate to further delay and reconstruct, for Americans soon forget. Reconstruct a whole new set of judicial allies. So much of America is really not sure what is right, or what is truth, or what is fact, and most importantly, what to believe. The old Judeo-Christian commandment of thou shalt not bear false witness, that is lie, that's over and done with. It has little or no relevance in this day and age. And we live in a day and age, we are told, which is termed the post-Christian era. The post-Christian era. Religion is on the wane. True spirituality has been compromised in so many ways. Real Christianity, mere Christianity, as C.S. Lewis termed it, has given way to an aggressive secularism with its very own tenets. And Christianity and its tenets has been eroded and now even ridiculed. The Jews, the givers of the Ten Commandments, now face some of the most virulent anti-Semitism ever. We witness the growth, the impact, and the influence of Islam the world over, and even in America. We now face an antagonistic, angry, and aggressive secularism. Atheism is on the rise. demanding at all times in America and for a new America, a new freedom from religion. Not of religion, but a freedom from religion. Anything and everything religious should be kept from the public square, the marketplace, the business world, and even society at large. It is indeed in many ways the post-Christian era, the post-Judeo-Christian era, the post-religious era ever in American history. There is now an ever-growing fight back, and that's a good thing, where those who believe in the First Amendment rights of freedom of religion are standing up, counterattacking, litigating, and resisting. But secular and atheistic forces continue to ramp up. They are well-funded, and they are determined to make permanent the post-Christian era in America. And there is a certain fear and uncertainty and deep concern on the part of spiritual people with these seemingly ever-growing changes. The fight is back on. Christians and conservatives have woken up. They realize what's happening, and now they are ready to fight back. And that's a good thing. In fact, the knockout punch was delivered November 8, 2016, when Americans trumped the Clintons and turned to a new leader. This man, this president, has promised to restore Christianity, the Judeo-Christian values to America, to their rightful place in America. I, for one, do hope and pray he does. And we are told we live in a day and age in America which is post-conservative. Post-conservative. We now witness the most aggressive attacks and assaults on conservatism ever. Conservatives are labeled racist, homophobes, xenophobes, and hate mongers, among so many others, not to mention sexist. Conservatives come from a traditional era, an old American era, with old and outdated values, we are told. The principles and morals we, the conservatives, hold dear don't work. Conservatives are sexist, seen as having little regard for the new feminist rights, including and especially abortion. And the constitutional concept of federalism is very much under attack, and that is seen as another conservative value, principle, precept, which needs to be changed, so say the liberals. But federalism is a constitutional fact of political life, and it is here to stay. And that means that power, real power, doesn't come from the federal government, but emanates from the bottom up, not top down. The people would live in communities, townships, boroughs, and counties. And finally, states where local laws, rules, and regulations could be different, but fully constitutional. That's the purpose of federalism. Different states, all 50 of them. And those state constructs could reflect the lifestyle, the demands of individuals in certain and different geographic areas. The township, county, and state in which the individual lived was all important, even more important to the founders than the federal government itself. That's why the powers of the federal government were so limited at the very beginning. The radical approach of the liberal movement would change that so that power is concentrated at and moving down from the federal government, controlling the states. America would be ruled by 545 individuals in the House of Representatives, the Senate, the Supreme Court, and the President, preempting local hegemony and demanding a uniformity, a complete control factor which the Constitution abhors. But the radicals, the Alinskyites, the liberals, the socialists are determined to effectuate these changes, these power changes, and take away the right of the common man to live as and where he does under the protection of his state. And now comes the fight back from the states, and even the counties and townships, and of course, the people, where life and living really begin. The fight is on. America is at war, politically and philosophically. The two Americas, ne'er the twain shall meet. Ne'er the conservative or liberal shall meet. Ready for the battle, my fellow Americans? Are you ready? And we are told that we live in an era of anti-capitalism. The movement against capitalism ramps up. Capitalism is defined as greed at work, not opportunity. radicals, changers, want redistribution of wealth and property and even opportunity. They, the radicals, want a leveling off, a newly defined equality for all, no matter the work ethic or ability. They, the liberals, promote a new entitlement so that one who succeeds, and perhaps extremely so, has a new corresponding obligation and duty to one who has not. Well, share the wealth, no matter how it has been produced, comes now the new mantra. We witness the revival of socialism, even to some extent communism. Today's society is not really about individual rights and freedoms, but a larger, more equal society at work, one for all. One can pursue the American dream and the opportunity which exists, but not to any extreme. A new sense of collectivism will prevail, and capitalism as we know it will be strictly controlled, or even in some cases done away with. The success of such a movement will radically change the core, the structure, the meaning of America, if in fact it is successful. And that produces yet its own fight back. Americans pursuing their own American dreams. Real Americans will not live in a dry, dull, lifeless, socialistic state. The majority of we the people will not be told by others how to live, or how hard to work, or what opportunities to pursue, or how much success to have, much less how well they should be educated, and most importantly, what they can earn and enjoy. You have the right to earn as much money as you possibly can under the old America. Will you under the new? The battle is on, and there may be no end to the conflict. And so, my fellow Americans, I ask the question again. What is America? What do we believe? How do we want to live? The fight is on, and the fight back is itself on as well. The battle is for the heart and soul of America, and conservatives and Christians are stepping up. The change we have witnessed in the past decade has eroded our strength, our confidence, our trust, our camaraderie, our commonality, our very will itself. The old America, the historical America, the constitutional America has been threatened, aggressively changed, and those who wish to preserve it have been intimidated and even themselves threatened. In this America, you and I, we the people, we have no choice. We have no choice, my fellow Americans, but to engage and participate in this conflict. Our lives will be radically changed if we do not. And we now have a new leader, one who promises to make America great again. Make America great again. Perhaps he will. Or perhaps he will because we will. We are a special nation, my fellow Americans. We are exceptional. We are. We are. We have a way of life, an ability to live, opportunities and freedoms which no other nation has. Our nation is a world leader. We are strong in defense and commerce and opportunities. We are. We protect our individualities and our freedoms, aggressively so. We cannot let any of that be taken away from us, my fellow Americans. Are you listening? We must resist any kind of radical or aggressive liberal change. We must protect our way of life, our constitutional foundation, and there must be a renewed and revived patriotism. Even if that means, as Thomas Jefferson once told us, that the tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time by the blood of the patriots. Again, even if that means, Thomas Jefferson, that the tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time by the blood of patriots. We must stand up for America, and we must fight back and protect and defend for our sake, our generation, but every bit as much so for the next generation, our children and grandchildren. We must protect and defend America. We must leave to them the America we have known and loved, and the opportunities to live and enjoy these freedoms, and to grow and prosper. We must leave that America to them. So, my fellow Americans, what do you want America to be? What do you believe is right? What will you do in order to protect and defend what you believe? You can't withdraw. You can't. The conflict is all around you. You must participate. You must stand up in word and deed. You must. You must rise to the challenge, my fellow Americans. And you and I should stand with our president and all who believe, as we do and he does, that it is our duty to make America great again.